Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manateaching Ministries. Praise the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for the word that you put on my heart today for your people. Thank you for the manna from on high. Thank you for blessing us, Lord God, today with new manna, fresh manna, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you will feed your people. Hallelujah, God, that you will bless by your spirit, God. Hallelujah, for it's not by might and not by power, but by your spirit. Hallelujah. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the glory and the praise may be of you, O Father. We give you praise and we give you glory in the mighty name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray, amen. God bless you, saints. We're coming to you tonight speaking about Saul and King David. God dealt with my heart a few days ago, and I penned this message. And I want to start in 1 Samuel chapter 15. I want to give you a little bit of background about, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15, we're going to be talking about King Saul. And this is right at the exact moment when Saul, it shows how Saul was deposed, or how Saul was what the Bible calls rejected by God. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. And it shows how God sent Samuel, we're going to talk about that, to Jesse's house, who was David's father, king, who later became King David. And we're going to see how God anointed David and called him before he put him into the actual position of authority over his people. So let's talk about this tonight. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says, Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people." So here we see that Samuel is the one that anointed Saul to be king over the children of Israel. He said, "He sent me to anoint you to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way," or he became an enemy to Israel, "when he came up from Egypt." Amen. So the Bible says that the children of Amalek, they laid wait, or they were going to jump on the children of Israel. They were going to try to destroy them and stop them. Amen. Now, he said, this is what Samuel was saying to Saul, the king, "Go and smite Amalek and utterly," now I want you to listen to that word, "utterly destroy all that they have." And when he said utterly destroy, he specified in the word of God exactly what he meant. He said, "Spare them not," he said, "but slay both men and women, infant and suckling," that means their children even down to the babies, "ox and sheep, camel and ass." When he said utterly destroy, he meant slay them all. He says spare them not. Now, in verse 4, the Bible says, "Saul gathered the people together and numbered them into land, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah." In verse 6, "And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. Saul said unto the Kenites, Go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites." This is verse 7. "Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur," that is over against Egypt. Verse 8, "And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword." Now remember, God had told him to utterly destroy them all, but the Bible says he took Agag, the king, alive. And to drink a little bit of water. And verse 9, the Bible says, "But Saul and all the people spared Agag," and, now look what else he did. He spared the king, and he spared the best of the sheep, the best of the oxen, the best of the fatlings, and the best of the lambs, and all that was good. So Saul took it upon himself to go outside of what God had told him to do because it seemed good unto him. And that's what we do sometimes in the church, saints. And I'm saying all of this to say, people are the same. There's nothing changes under the sun. The same thing that worked back then, it's going to work on you today. And that's what we're trying to get you to see in this message. Saul spared the king. He spared the best of the flocks. He spared all that he considered to be good. and would not utterly destroy them. So he went outside of what God told him to do. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. He changed what God told him. God said, don't spare anybody. He decided, I'm going to keep the good and destroy the bad. I know God, he thought to himself that God will be accepting of this. But listen to what God said. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, now Samuel was a prophet. Samuel, the Lord told Samuel, it repenteth me, in verse 11, that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me. I want you to see the little intricacies in the scripture. God said, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. Why did he repent God? It's not, he's not a man that he would need to repent. He didn't have to repent or change anything in the future. He said, it repenteth me, talking about a decision he had made in the past that he regretted. He said, I regret that I set up Saul to be king. Not repent in the sense of I have something to repent for, but looking back on a decision that I made, it grieves me, or it is something that I wish I had not done. He said, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, excuse me, and have not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Now, Samuel loved Saul. The Bible says it grieved him to his heart, and he cried all night long. I want you to hear this. Amen. Because a lot of us, we are so in love with our church leaders. We are so in love with the people that God have put in our life that we miss God sometimes when God is telling us that he, about these people, we can't hear what God is saying because we're looking at the person instead of listening to the voice of the Lord. Amen. So the Bible says it grieved Samuel. He cried all night to the Lord. And when Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in verse 12, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. Now Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be thou of the Lord. Now Saul knew that he had not obeyed the word of the Lord fully, but he was so full of himself that he had the nerve to say, blessed be thou of the Lord, like Samuel was not going to know what he had done. He said, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. See, a lot of times we do things and we think God doesn't see what we do. A lot of times God tells us to do something and we say, oh, I'm just going to do this, but I'm not going to do that. God sees everything. And this is what Saul had to find out here. He told Samuel, he said, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? Samuel was a prophet. His spiritual ears were open to God. And he said, why do I hear these sheep and these oxen in my spiritual ear if you destroyed everything? Saul said in verse 15, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared. Now, first he wasn't going to tell them anything, but he saw that he couldn't get away with it. So now he says in verse 15, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the best of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now, Samuel said to Saul in verse 16, stay, I want you to stay right here, because I need to tell you something. He said, I will tell you what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. He thought it was going to be a good thing, but listen to what he said in verse 17. Samuel said, when thou was little in thine own eyes, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over his people Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Now listen to what Saul said in verse 20, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He did not repent when it first was brought to his attention. He's still denying that he did this thing. He said, I have obeyed. He's going to argue with the prophet. He said, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord sent me. So here he is still not admitting that he's wrong. He said, I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Verse 21, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things that should have been utterly destroyed. Now, see, a lot of you, when you're listening to some of these leaders, amen, that are telling you that God desires your sacrifice and your offering, but they're not telling you about how you have to walk in obedience to God, I want you to listen to this message tonight. The Bible says that Saul said, I have saved the best part to give to the Lord. Now, in the natural mind, that makes sense. He said in verse 22, Samuel responded, have the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. He said, God does not delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as much as he does in your obedience to his voice. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of lambs. I'm not saying that God don't want you to sacrifice. God does want your sacrifice, but here we see a biblical principle that is enforced that it is better to obey than to sacrifice. God desires sacrifice of your heart, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. He said, does God desire have as great a delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as he does in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams. Verse 23. Now, this is a verse that we often quote in the Bible. It says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And for so long, I thought that was saying, when you have the spirit of rebellion, you are practicing witchcraft. But that's not what that is saying. He said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he have also rejected you from being king. Now, this verse means when it says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, it's saying if you rebel, it's the same thing to God as when you do witchcraft. Not that it is witchcraft, but it's the same thing to him. When you rebel against the voice of the Lord, when you disobey God, it is just as much of a sin as the sin of witchcraft. When you have stubbornness in your heart and iniquity, stubbornness, the Bible says, is as iniquity and idolatry. When you're stubborn and rebellious, stiff-necked people that God talks about in Ezekiel, when you are stubborn, he said, is as iniquity and idolatry. So you might as well be going out committing iniquity and doing idolatry if you're going to be stubborn. He said, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Verse 24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. Now he sees exactly what God is talking about, and he has no way out. So he says, I have sinned, I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. This is very important, saints. I want you to see where Saul said that the reason why he sinned is because he feared the people and he obeyed the people. So when you have a lot, God wants us to make a decision tonight. I just want to say this. God wants us to make a decision tonight. He wants us to decide whether we're going to obey man or obey God. And one thing that a lot of saints get caught up in, we get caught up in trying to please people. As leaders, a lot of times, because I'm called to teach leaders, as a lot of times we as leaders are caught up in trying to please people, amen, trying to classify people. You're never, and we think that, oh, the people are going to leave, the church is not going to grow, the offerings are not going to be there, you know, but instead of trusting God to meet the need, we're looking at the people and trying to please people. This is a great sin in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that Saul sinned because he feared the people, or he feared what the people thought about him more than what God thought about him, and he obeyed the voice of the people. This is what Saul said himself in 1 Samuel 15 and 24. Now, verse 25, he said, "Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin." And he thought it was just going to be simple. He said, "Pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord." But Samuel said unto Saul, "Again, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected you from being king over Israel." And as Samuel turned and about to go, and he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it tore. And Samuel said, "The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent." Then he said in verse 30, now this is still King Saul talking, and this is a part of my message too. He said, "I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people." Even after God had told him he refused him and he was going to tear the kingdom from him, what was his reaction? What was mostly on Saul's mind more than anything else? He still was concerned about the people. He said, "Honor me before the elders of my people." He did not come to God the way David did, which we're going to read about in a minute. David didn't care about the people, what they thought. David cared about what God thought. But Saul was more concerned about what people thought. He said, "Honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God." He didn't want to worship God because he had a relationship with God. He didn't want to worship God because he cared about what God thought about him. He didn't want to worship God because he wanted to be back in the presence of God. He wanted to worship God before the elders of the people and before Israel to be seen by the people. Amen. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. But look, we're going to read some more over in the book of, we're going to turn. Okay, let me go down to the last verse in this chapter. The Bible says in 15 and 35, Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Now let's go to the next chapter, which is verse 16. I'm going to read verse 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul?" Some of you guys are still mourning for your leaders that God have rejected. And I just want to say that. He said, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." Saul knew that God was getting a replacement. He probably knew that Samuel was going to be the one to anoint him. So he was watching Samuel like a hawk. Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord, because he thought that if he killed Samuel, maybe he could keep his place a little bit longer. But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice. And I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." Samuel did that which the Lord said and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably." Because remember, in the previous chapter, we didn't talk about this, but Samuel was the one that King killed King Agag. Samuel was the one that took the sword, and the Bible says he cut him into pieces. So Samuel was a prophet, but he also was a warrior. So they said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "I am come peacefully to sacrifice unto the Lord." He said, "Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. It came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, this is 1 Samuel 16 and 6. This was the firstborn, the oldest one of Jesse's sons. When Eliab came out, the Bible says, Samuel saw him. He said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." Looking at the outward appearance, he looked pretty good. But look in verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I want you to know God is looking at your heart today, saints. A lot of times the Bible say we be in church. There's another scripture that talks about how somebody come in that's worth a lot of money or dress nice and have on nice apparel. We want to sit them in the front. And the people that don't have a lot of money and come in looking all raggedy, we want to sit them in the back. The Bible says man looks on the outward appearance. There should be no partiality in the body of Christ. But God told Samuel here, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's why David was a man after God's own heart. But Jesse called, then he called seven more of his sons to pass before him. I'm not going to go through them. But in verse 10, the Bible says, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord have not chosen any of these. Verse 11, Samuel said unto Jesse, are these all your children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come in. I want you to know, God was working on King David long before this day when he was anointed king, when he knew his position was going to change in life. When David was out with the sheep, God was working something in him. When he was out with in the field with the sheep, remember he killed the lion and he killed the bear. Amen. He killed any threat to the sheep because God knew he was preparing him to be a shepherd over his people. And the same type of tenacity that it took to kill that lion and kill that bear to protect the sheep of God, that's the same type of tenacity that it's going to take when you protect the sheep of God. Those sheep were real sheep, but God was going to give him people that he could shepherd over. Now, Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come in. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy or reddish, and withal of a beautiful countenance. He was handsome and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. I want you to remember that the Lord said, anoint him, for this is he. Some of you tonight, God is anointing you and setting you apart for a purpose. He said, this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. They couldn't understand it. It didn't make sense to them. Remember when David killed Goliath and his brothers, when he came to the battle, and his brother said, why are you come? Who's watching over those sheep? They were always trying to find a way to get, and this was David's real brothers now, his flesh and blood brothers. They were always trying to find a way to put him down. But look at what God did. God anointed him in the midst of his brother, in the midst of the ones that talked about him, in the midst of the ones that wished him no good, in the midst of the ones that hated on him. God anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now we're going to turn over to Psalms 51. And I want you to give you a minute to turn over there. Okay, so in Psalms 51, the Bible says in verse 1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Now, this is David after he sinned. We're going to look at the difference in the two prayers. David, after he sinned, he wrote this psalm, and we're going to talk about it for a minute. After he had gone into Bathsheba, we all know the story of Bathsheba, how he took another man's wife, Uriah, wife, and killed Uriah. And God took the baby that Bathsheba was pregnant with, that David, because he had killed Uriah, he brought bloodshed on his hands. But David, after he had sinned, he said here, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Do you see the difference between his prayer and Saul's prayer? Saul just wanted to be honored in front of the people. David was coming from a totally different place. He said, have mercy upon me, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your mercy, your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. David could care less about what people thought of him. David just wanted to please the Lord. Now look at verse 2. He said, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." David was more concerned about the Lord cleaning him up and he being acceptable in the eyes of God than he was about what people thought. Amen. He was the king. Remember, he went dancing through the street half naked, and the daughter of Saul said, "Look at him. He's in embarrassment." David said, "If you only knew what I knew, you'd be dancing in the streets too." Hallelujah, in so many words. David did not have any shame when it came to praising God because he knew what God had brought him from. Remember, God told Saul, "When you were little in your own eyes, I anointed you." Well, David did not forget where he came from. Saul had forgot where he came from, but David did not forget where he came from. He said, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." He said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." See, here again, he's focusing on God. He's not focusing on man. Amen. He said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." So he didn't try to hide or cover his sin like Saul did. He said, "My sin is ever before me." He said that you would be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Verse 6, he said, "Behold," and he reminded himself, "I was shaped in iniquity," and he reminded God, "I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So from the beginning of my days, God, you knew, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. But he said, look at this. This is the part that I really want to talk about, verse 6. He said, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts." So God, I did a study on that inward parts, and it means to go down into the innermost being of our soul. Those are the areas that we don't want to talk about, the little ugly things in our heart and in our soul that we don't want to, we just want to push it back and cover it up and push it away and act like it don't exist. David said, "You desire truth in those parts." Amen. He said, "You desire truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part shall thou make me to know wisdom." The things that I have for myself, God help me to know wisdom in that area of my life. Hallelujah. That really blessed me. He said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities." This is another verse that I want to talk about. David said in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." He was asking God to keep me because I can't keep myself. The heart that sinned, I want you to take it out, and I want you to give me a new heart. I want you to wash me on hyssop. I want you to cleanse me from within and the secret parts. I want you to create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Because David did not want to ever sin again like he had did before and hurt God. He said, "Before you and you only have I sinned." He said, "Renew a right spirit within me." Verse 11. He said, "Cast me not away from thy presence." And this is the most important part as we prepare to close. He said, "Cast me not away from thy presence." You never heard Saul say that. He just wanted to be honored in front of the people. But David said, "Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me." David was so much in love. "Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy." He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto me." He said, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." He said, "For you desire is not sacrifice, else would I give it." He said, "Thou delightest not in burnt offerings." In other words, he was saying the same thing that Samuel told Saul. David came back and repeated it here. He said, "You desire is not sacrifice, else I will give it." He said, "But you delight not in burnt offerings." He said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise." David knew if he came to God in the right way with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, that God would not reject him. Amen. But God would accept him. Because he said God will not despise a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He said, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness and with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings, then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar. Verse 17 is our closing scripture. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. As we close tonight, I want you to ask God to give you a contrite heart, to give you a broken spirit before him. And I want you to read Psalms 51 and go over that scripture and really pray it back to the Lord. But I pray that you got something out of the message tonight. I pray that it blessed you as much as it blessed me, and that God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. In the name of Jesus, I pray a blessing over this message, that it will fall on good ground and that it will produce fruit unto godliness and unto edification of the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good night, saints. God bless you, and I love you with the love of the Lord.